The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back to Feminist Book Club, the podcast. We're not just about feminist books. We are here for social justice, literature, and media in all its forms. But we do that through an intersectional feminist lens. Thanks for being here. Let's get started. Hey all, Renee Powers here, and today I have a list of 5 books you should read if you love Ted Lasso. I don't know about you, I'm obsessed with Ted Lasso. I think it is one of the most wholesome, feel-good shows out there. I am actually a television nerd. As much as I am a book nerd, I think I'm even more so a television nerd. And I will say that Ted Lasso has absolutely entered the upper echelons of my favorite comedies, right up there with New Girl, Parks and Rec, Schitt's Creek, Ted Lasso. And what I love about it is how generous the writing is for the characters. We see this kind of found family, fish out of water found family, and the dynamics between all of the characters in different pairings is always so interesting. And then there's this really robust, beautiful supporting cast. It's not just Ted Lasso. It's not just Rebecca. It's the team. It's these ancillary characters. It's Dr. Sharon Fieldstone. And so if you're looking for feel-good reads that feel like Ted Lasso, I've got 5 books for you. The first one is When Dimple Met Rishi by Sandhya Menon. What I love about this is it is wholesome. It is a love story. It is a teenage rom-com, but the characters are so sweet and they say what they're feeling a lot of the times. There are moments where you're really frustrated with Dimple, our main character, but Rishi, the male love interest, is so honest and, again, so generous and very much a kind of Higgins stand-in. If we're putting this in Ted Lasso universe, I think Rishi is kind of a Higgins and Dimple is future Mrs. Higgins. But if you're looking for just like a sweet cinnamon roll kind of character and charming, wholesome love story, When Dimple Met Rishi will give you all of those warm, fuzzy feelings. House on the Cerulean Sea by T.J. Klune is my next recommendation. This is another found family trope, which I'm obsessed with. It's one of my favorite tropes in literature, is when you discover a bunch of people who feel like home. And that's exactly what happens in this book. Our main character, Linus, goes to a home for orphans, but they're magical orphans, and they're all misfits. They're all blessed or cursed with certain powers, or, I mean, in one case, there's an actual blob. He's just a blob. Nobody really knows what he is. He's just a sticky blob. However, Linus, our main character, unexpectedly falls in love with these children and falls in love with their caretaker. And it is a beautiful kind of coming to terms with what it means to be family and what it means to truly see someone and love unconditionally. All the warm fuzzies here. You love every single character. There is no Nate the Great in this. Because right now, I'm really pissed at Nate in Ted Lasso. But if you're looking for just a cozy, feel-good read, The House on the Cerulean Sea by T.J. Klune is excellent. My next one is another found family feel-good book. It's One Last Stop by Casey McQuiston. You're rooting for all the characters in this book, just like you're rooting for all the characters in the previous 2 books. Honestly, maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what's so beautiful about Ted Lasso, is you're rooting for everybody, even Nate right now, who I'm pissed at. I'm rooting for him to have a come to Jesus moment with Ted Lasso. But even so, all of the characters are lovable. All of the characters are warm and generous and kind and honest. And I think kindness is underrepresented in literature and contemporary literature. And yes, I love to read a broken character. Yes, I love a good unlikable narrator. But kindness is so compelling. And I think that what Ted Lasso does so well is sincerity. And I see a lot of the same themes in One Last Stop as well. It is a time-traveling, woman-loving woman romance with this found family of friends and this ancillary, these ancillary characters that you cannot help but love. Again, that's One Last Stop by Casey McQuiston. Now, in Ted Lasso, I've already mentioned her. I love Dr. Sharon Fieldstone. I think that she was exactly what the second season needed and exactly what Ted needed when he didn't even realize he needed it. And so that's what I'm drawing on for this next one. This Close to Okay by Lisa Cross Smith. This is it a romance? I don't really think it is, but I think it might be classified as a romance. But basically, a therapist interrupts a man trying to jump off a bridge. And she brings him home and takes care of him. And we see that kind of caretaking role a lot. Ted does it for his team. Ted does it for his staff. Ted doesn't let other people do it. And we're seeing that same thing in these characters in this book. It's This Close to Okay by Lisa Cross Smith. It's a little heavier. It's not quite as light and cheerful and fun and warm fuzzy, but it's still the same feelings, the same, I'm rooting for you, I want you to be okay, and I'm going to speak honestly about it. Now, finally, I have to shout out one of my favorite authors, Brené Brown. So they name drop her in season two because they actually, the writer's room is actually obsessed with Brené Brown's work. So if you're new to Brené Brown, I would say start with her very first book, The Gifts of Imperfection. It's nonfiction, it's personal development, but what's so great about her work, it is actually rooted in a lot of research, her own personal empirical research. So she studies connections between shame, vulnerability, and power, and how we can lean into vulnerability to make better choices, to be more wholehearted, to be more sincere and generous and kind. So I think that underpinning this show, Ted Lasso, is so much of Brené Brown's work. And she has a podcast. She has several podcasts, actually. And I listened to Jason Sudeikis and I think Brendan Hunt on her podcast. And first off, she's a huge fan of Ted Lasso. And turns out, like I said, the writer's room is a huge fan of her work. And so you can see kind of her work in action told through this serial narrative lens, which is so interesting. And I think that, again, Dr. Fieldstone kind of embodies this Brené Brown type character without actually kind of speaking her words or leaning into her research. But she kind of embodies what a social worker would do in order to get through to Ted especially. So those are my five books. Again, the last one was The Gifts of Imperfection by Brené Brown. If you love Ted Lasso, check these out. I would love to know what you're reading that reminds you of this show, why you love this show, if you love this show. I will also say that, yes, it's a show with a white man at its center, and at the same time, it's a deeply feminist show because Ted is encouraging honesty and feeling our feelings even when he won't feel his own. I think that, I mean, as someone who suffers from panic attacks, I think that his experience and portrayal of panic attacks is so right on, kind of that tunnel vision, overwhelming death feeling. They've done such a good job with that, with emotional intelligence of men, which is so rarely seen on television. And I think that is so deeply feminist because feminism, as you all know if you're listening to this show, is about all genders. It is good for all genders. And feminism and masculinity is something I would like to touch on a little bit more. But I think that a great example of how to do feminism within masculinity is Ted Lasso, is this show. So I hope you love this segment, and you can find me over on Instagram. I'm the person behind the Feminist Book Club Instagram account, so find us over there, Feminist Book Club Box, and we will see you again soon.
Greetings, friends. I'm Mariquita Guerrera, and I'd love to talk with you today about Horsemen, A Tale of Sleepy Hollow by Christina Henry, published by Berkeley Books and released September 28th. As a word of warning, there are some minor spoilers ahead, so if you've been anticipating this title and want to keep everything as fresh as possible, maybe you revisit this review once you've had a chance to read it. I've only read one other book written by this author and enjoyed it immensely. Christina Henry has a record of retelling well-known stories, but providing a new and different perspective. The previous book I read, Lost Boy, narrated the Peter Pan story from the position of, who else, one of the titular Lost Boys. In this case, the story being retold is The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, originally by Washington Irving, perfect for the spooky season. Henry's version is focused around protagonist Ben Van Brunt, the grandchild of Abraham Van Brunt and Katrina Van Tassel, and takes place many years after the better-known events involving Ichabod Crane. The reader follows along as Ben, sometimes accompanied by timid best friend Sander, discovers that there is something evil in the woods, murdering and mutilating the bodies of young boys and farm animals. Immediate suspicion is cast upon the Headless Horseman, a legendary monster that many of the villagers feel stalks the area outside the boundaries of the town. Ben is not convinced, however, after an encounter in his grandfather's field. He feels there is another malevolent force at work. Ben, hard-headed, fearless, and inquisitive, is determined to uncover the mystery despite the clear danger involved. As Henry's story unfolds, we learn more about the people and the environment of Sleepy Hollow, the circumstances surrounding the disappearance of Ichabod Crane, and the history of at least one boogeyman brought across the ocean by the Dutch settlers. Henry's retellings often include greater representation than was present in the original tales, including LGBTQ characters that were absent in previous accounts, and Horseman does not diverge from this pattern. We learn very early on in the story that Ben Van Brunt was born Bente Van Brunt, and while originally identified as female, does not himself so identify. Ben spends a good portion of the plot asserting his male identity, bristling at indicators that he should behave in a more ladylike fashion, embrace marriage and eventual motherhood, and not cavort about in the dirt and the trees. Henry includes problematic and very white examples of womanhood and beauty, emphasizing Ben's grandmother's disordered eating to, quote, retain her girlish figure, and his mother's fair skin and blue eyes as being, quote, the very vision of feminine beauty. Examples which arguably have been included in such a fashion to preserve an historically accurate perspective, but which could perhaps have had a more nuanced approach. To my mind, there are other ways to capture that dichotomy that do not further emphasize Western beauty ideals, especially if you're already rewriting the story. Another point of contention I have with the book is just how very expository it is sometimes. There are places in the narrative where it would have been nicer to be shown, not told, the motivations of the characters, the foundations and histories of the townspeople, and the reactions and responses to events. The use of exposition rushes the story forward artificially and took me out of it during pivotal or heightened moments, thus undercutting the suspense that was so carefully built. All in all, clumsier writing than I remember from Lost Boy. Horseman is still a book worth reading, I think, if you've been enamored of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, as I am, or if you want an easy and entertaining Halloween read. It was lovely to see a trans character not defined by trauma, but exploring their identity and emerging self-assured and confident, as well as beloved, believed, and ultimately supported by family. It was also wonderful to revisit a Sleepy Hollow of many years later and discover the real nature of the Headless Horseman, a truth that was only hinted at in the original story. Henry's imaginative writing and very evident fondness for the tales we were told as children shines through in this book. It is clear that she wants to examine and expand the worlds that were built for us in the past, and she is ultimately successful. I wouldn't say the book left me terrified or haunted, but it does remind the reader that sometimes we create our own demons. And in this case, maybe literally. So, if you're interested, please check out Horseman, A Tale of Sleepy Hollow by Christina Henry, published by Berkeley Books and released September 28th. We will have a link to that in the show notes, as well as to the other book I mentioned, Lost Boy. Thank you so much for joining me. If you'd like to check in and talk about books, especially any horror novels you've read and loved lately, you can find me on Instagram at @O_Murray. That is, of course, OH_MURRAY. Until next time, friends, be kind to yourself and be kind to one another. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Feminist Book Club, the podcast. Want to be part of the club? Here's how you can join us. Obviously, subscribe to our podcast and leave a rating and review for brownie points. Follow along on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and TikTok. All of those links are in the show notes. Sign up for our newsletter to be the first to know what our next monthly book pick is. And check out our award-winning monthly book subscription service. Oprah Magazine named it one of their favorite book boxes, and Shonda Rhimes called us one of her favorite subscription boxes in general. There are multiple membership levels for any budget, and it's an excellent way to support the show and the voices you heard today. See you in the club.
A well-read woman is a dangerous creature.